Welcome back to the Roundtable on your Tuesday morning. Ray Graff in for nailing Joe Donahue. Kelly apparently double dated with Hillary and Bill, and next thing you know, he's sick as a dog. He's falling down. It's the Roundtable panel, and it's an open discussion of some interest of the news and beyond. Alan Shartok is here. He's something. Alan, welcome to the show.
I am certainly something. Thank you for that.
Now, somebody who's really something, she's a director of the journalism program at UAlbany, Rosemary Armeo. Rosemary, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Lovely
shirt.
She's
also the doctor of that program.
You got a shirt on today that I need to get one of.
It's a fabulous purple and gold UAlbany shirt. I love my school. It says the great writing program.
The great Danatopia?
Danatopia.
I love it.
Yep, we went to that.
A lot of buzz about UAlbany's football season ahead.
Indeed.
Yeah, right.
And that relaxing, soothing voice you just heard was Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain. Mike, welcome back to the program, sir.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
You can join in the conversation at home if you so wish by emailing us at roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. 55 days to go until this blasted election is done. Have you had enough? Has this been the most ridiculous campaign season of all time? Alan Shartok.
No.
You want it to continue?
No, it's like Santa Claus and Christmas. This is my stuff, you know?
Well, you got a lump of coal this year, I'll tell you that.
This is my stuff. But I keep coming back to the British experience, Ray, which is that, you know, they do it all in about a month.
Yeah.
And here we have 7 weeks to go, and everybody is now saying, just 7 weeks to go. Now, let's just say, you know, I mean, we've been severely criticized. The former chair of the Democratic National Committee out there, remember this? Yeah. The former chair of the Democratic National Committee said there has to be a plan B in case this thing doesn't work out. I'm getting a lot of letters that saying, don't even say that stuff. Just shut up.
Okay.
May I ask a question? Second. Dr. Shartok, political scientist, what is the process should a candidate step out of the race? Does a candidate for president have the right to step out?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. And the Democratic National Committee, either the Committee on Vacancies, I'm not sure which one it is, or the Democratic National Committee
can make a substitute decision choice.
Yeah.
Well, Hillary was on, called into Anderson Cooper last night.
Yeah,
said, look,
did.
I didn't think this was going to be that big of a deal.
Right thing to say. Good move.
Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton said that she's feeling better since falling ill at the 9/11 memorial ceremony, and she never lost consciousness, didn't think her pneumonia diagnosis was significant enough to disclose beforehand. She texted supporters yesterday, I'm feeling fine and getting better. So I know you guys talked about this for a long time yesterday.
And yet Hillary's supporter, Rosemary, was watching Lawrence O'Donnell last night, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And what was that all about?
Lawrence O'Donnell was running all these clips from West Wing that many of you may remember.
I remember.
In which Jed Bartlett, who actually is a president I would love to have in office,
too,
but he's fictional, had MS and was concealing it from the public until he has an attack so severe that he has to figure out how to come clean about it, how to tell people about it. And I thought it was very strange that we had to go to fiction to come up with a comparable example.
FDR,
to Hillary.
Right.
On the other hand,
FDR ran for re-election while he was dying.
Yeah.
Well,
which I don't think was a good thing.
I don't know that he knew.
And John Kennedy also had a horrible, he had very bad disease.
Addison.
You know, I was thinking about this yesterday.
He was on medication.
This is not good. This is not an excuse for what she did.
If Kennedy was running in 1960 with Addison in a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week news
never
cycle,
would have made it.
Does he make it?
No, but neither would FDR and probably not Hitler either.
Oh, no. Wait. FDR would have made it. FDR was somebody who was up in the heavens.
People did not know then he was crippled.
Well, yes, but the reporters knew it. They didn't say it.
Everybody... reporters now wouldn't do that, and there's cameras everywhere. He would never have gotten away with it.
At least one president had a wife who was suspected of being alcoholic, and the reporters didn't mention that either. That's all changed.
But enough about Mrs. Lincoln. No, it was Betty Ford. Sure. But,
yeah. And Mamie.
She went on and founded a clinic.
And Mamie also. Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah. So, God, the first ladies are so interesting. But I don't know. I've heard from plenty of people who say that I haven't been so ridiculously blown out of proportion since I predicted, you know, that Ebola was going to kill us all.
Did you do that?
I was pretty, yeah.
You were convinced of that?
I was convinced that it was going to spread. I was stunned. No, I was pretty stunned that they stopped it as quickly and as I mean, not for Africans who died in the thousands, but for the rest of the world. But they may be right. I've been reading all this stuff from Hillary supporters. And I don't think you just blow off the kind of collapse I saw in public.
Well, the criticism today, you know, the editorial in the New York Times and a similar editorial in the Times Union, faults her for her extreme privacy.
Yep.
And that when you run for president, you have to acknowledge that you have to give up a lot of your privacy. And she has been reticent about doing it. That's the reason she got into trouble for the email. I'm convinced she didn't want anybody to find out about her personal affairs, so she wanted her own email server. And look how that backfired.
I would say her advisors are not doing a splendid job in that
regard.
Or
she's not listening to them, Ray.
She didn't tell them. Most of her staff did not know what was going on.
A lot of people seem to know what was going on in that video, which is now everywhere.
Well, in the video they did because she was collapsing, and she said it then. And Chuck Schumer knew it because apparently Chuck Schumer.
After she collapsed, hours later, she came out of the apartment, Chelsea's apartment in Manhattan, and they said, "What's going on?" And she says, "It's a beautiful day in New York." That is completely evasive. She should have stopped then. If she had only listened to her doctor on Friday, she wouldn't have gone to that fundraiser Saturday and gotten herself into deep trouble for her outrageous comments about the voters and supporters of Trump, the broad brush that she used. And she'd be so much better off today if she was just slept in over the weekend.
Now, you guys covered this of the program yesterday. Did Axelrod make his comments before the show or after the show?
He didn't have it, no.
So this is quoting the Washington Post. On Monday morning, Obama's former campaign strategist David Axelrod gave voice to Democrats' concerns that the campaign had prized secrecy over transparency, further playing into a perception among voters that Clinton is untrustworthy. Antibiotics can take care of pneumonia, Axelrod wrote. What's the cure for an unhealthy penchant for privacy that repeatedly creates unnecessary problems? That's the heart of it.
Well, I don't think it's an unhealthy pension. I think it's a really normal one that we all have. The problem is she is not living a normal life. If you're going to run for the presidency, you cannot have those sorts of inclinations.
Right. It's not even a question that a 68-year-old and a 72-year-old, who are the major party candidates for president, should not disclose everything possible about their health.
Right, because as my mother says, at 90, you don't go to the doctor, because if you go when you're that age, they're going to find something.
Well, remember in 84, when Reagan was running for re-election, he had a lousy first debate, and suddenly age and mental acuity became a key thing in the press, so you could say turnabout is fair play.
Well, the one good that I can see coming out of all of this is that both candidates this week, at least it's looking, we could see a change, but at least both of them are promising they're going to come out with more health records. I really think we have the right to see it. I did want to know that FDR was crippled and dying when he ran. I did want to know that Kennedy was as ill as he was. I may have voted for them anyway, as I am going to for Hillary.
I think FDR would have won re-election if he had disclosed everything.
Some
term.
Of his elections were a little closer than you may think, Mike. Because
I would not have voted for a dying man.
I would have.
No.
I would have, especially if I knew Harry Truman was next up.
Not in that climate. And Truman wouldn't have been next up if he had come clean. Truman would not have
Roosevelt
been next up.
Roosevelt once before the, isn't that right, Alan? He met him only once before the election.
He did nothing at all. He did not know about the atomic bomb. He didn't know anything. But it turned out he was a great president.
I've never seen. Now, we get a lot of emails that don't make it to the air. There are so many of them.
Thousands.
And I watched them come in yesterday, and I've never seen such, not violent, but very, very excited reaction to the things said on this program, including one that intimated that the Trump campaign actually gave Hillary pneumonia, which I thought was very interesting. Anyway, we'll check listener mail in a moment. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Albany Marriott with 359 guest rooms, special event and meeting space with internet access, the Market Restaurant and Martini Lounge, and airport transportation. Facebook, Twitter, or albanymarriott.com. The Vascular Group, specializing in vascular health with 10 locations in upstate New York, bringing internationally recognized care to your hometown. albanyvascular.com. H. House & Son True Value Woodstock since 1932, featuring hardware, Benjamin Moore paint, tool and equipment rentals, True Value. Behind every project is a True Value. HHoust.com. And HMT at the Spa Little Theater, beginning their 32nd season with Shrek the Musical, weekends October 15th through 30th at the Spa Little Theater, Saratoga Spa State Park. HomemadeTheater.org.
Soothing music. Thank you, Rob, our engineer, for that. It's the roundtable panel, and it's an open discussion of issues in the news and beyond. Our panel today, Mike Spain of the Times Union, Rosemary Armeo of UAlbany, and Alan Shartok here at WAMC. Ray Graff in for the ailing Joe Donahue. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. And Alan, I believe we have email.
We have email. We have one from Tom, for example.
Oh boy.
Get well soon, Joe, but really enjoying the presence of Ray.
Yes.
Go, Ray,
me
go.
Too. Thank you.
And Allison says, so Ray, Rosemary Armeo stunned me yesterday morning saying Clinton's problem was seriously politically. Later in the day, David Axelrod and Cokie Roberts said the same thing. Wow, kudos to you, Rosemary, for leading the pack of wolves. All major Clinton supporters should use a small stumble walking pneumonia, which is common, to suggest she should not run when she has such obvious benefits over Trump.
Wait a minute. I never suggested she should not run.
You did not?
I suggested it's a serious political problem. Both of those things exist.
And maybe not a big medical problem, but a political problem. And there's a big difference there.
It's walking pneumonia, and the stumble would not have been anything.
By the way,
if there had not been weeks of stuff from the Trump campaign saying she doesn't have the strength or stamina to run.
It doesn't.
Surely
he handed them
see.
A noose to hang her. Really.
There you
nah,
go.
She's not. Listen, by the way, it's not, just as a definition thing, it's not a stumble if you're standing in one place, okay?
Did you see the video?
She's standing in one place. It's not a stumble.
It's totally a stumble. You did not see the whole video.
I did watch the video.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
She falls
but
backwards,
as
and then as they go forward.
It's getting that kind of play.
Yeah, it but, is.
But regardless,
okay,
by letting it happen the way it happened, she has given credence to those outrageous comments by Trump and his folks about her strength and her stamina.
Good morning, panel.
Good morning.
Tough times for Hillary. Between Mrs. Clinton's unfortunate health gaffe and her statement regarding half of Trump supporters being in a deplorable basket have placed Hillary in an 0-2 count. Hillary Clinton is one strike away of walking back to the dugout. Hillary has rolled up her sleeves and jumped into the mud with her counterpart, a very dangerous place to be, especially when you've never gone there before. Hillary is not well-liked enough to be slinging mud, and that's from Anthony.
So this is your... discussing the deplorables, Anthony? Is that what?
Yeah.
I think
her only mistake was she made the percentage too low.
That's funny.
No, she
that's
says really, with a little grin on her face.
That's really funny. Okay, and Nancy says, I can't believe how you are blowing this out of all connection to reality. So she's had pneumonia. Big deal. People do recover from pneumonia with antibiotics. What would the reaction have been if she had not gone to the ceremony? It would have been even worse. She would have...
No, it wouldn't have.
Well, wait a second. Let's just finish this up here.
Sorry.
She would have been thought to have all kinds of maladies. Please, let's get her elected and stop Trump. And that's from Nancy. Okay, you were going to say, Rosemary?
Well, I don't think it would have been as bad. It could have easily been handled. If she had a better public relations department, I think they would have done
maybe
that.
Maybe if she
said,
was honest with her own immediate staff.
Yeah, she could have just said, look, you know, I've got pneumonia. I'm not even supposed to go out at all. I am not going to miss this. That would have explained sitting in a chair and drinking a bottle of water. She didn't do that. She tried to stand and go without water.
By the way, why go
that
without
killed
water?
Her.
Because
they actually, there was reporting on this. They passed out bottles of water to other public officials, and they all refused. So Hillary did, too, because she didn't want to look like she was gurgling water in the middle of the reading of the names. It's so self-destructive.
Did anyone see the news today that Chuck Schumer is taking a few days off?
Yeah.
Because he has a basically walking pneumonia.
I believe he's doing that for Hillary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so.
You don't believe he has walking pneumonia?
I do believe he has it, but I don't think he would have taken days off and announced it otherwise.
So Lynn said, Rosemary neglected to elaborate on the content of Lawrence O'Donnell's segment last night. Highly recommended. Quote, Lawrence breaks down how the media ignored Donald Trump's most dangerous statement of the campaign and instead focused on Hillary Clinton's health disclosure, something that Trump has never done. Lawrence also explains why history has proven health is not a voting issue.
That's all true. He said, I don't care about the health of the president. I would have voted for these people for their ideas. You know, and that's another thing that I keep hearing, and my students ask about it too. Why are we spending time on Hillary's health and not on the amazing disclosures, really, that are coming out about Trump from the Washington Post, including that there appears to be total lies about how much he's given to a charity. There's no proof he gave anything. His charity has not gotten a ton of money from him at all, despite claims on the trail otherwise. And his businesses are a wreck. He's had bankruptcy and fraud and doesn't pay people. And by the way, his wife could be one of those, as he calls them, offensively illegals.
And by the way, Jennifer says, what can be done about that, just what you're talking about, double standard being applied to Hillary's less than perfect way of communicating and Trump's lies? Yes, Hillary's campaign doesn't handle issues ideally, but the size and scope and danger of Trump's lies dwarf anything Hillary has ever said or done. Your thoughts?
Yeah, my thoughts.
Dana Milbank at the Washington Post has a column today that basically says she was correct when she called half of Trump's supporters deplorables.
He is right. That's what I said. The only mistake there was half. It could be a little low.
And by the way, if you hear the tape, when she says it, there is a huge applause and laughter, for what
it
she
wasn't
said.
It wasn't good. You should not attack the people who you're going to govern if you're elected.
There is a point that Trump has gotten a long way by attacking and being offensive. That does not work for most people. And Hillary has actual vision and actual ideas of how to run things. She needs to emphasize that.
All right, we got to take a break here. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. roundtable@wamc.org. Keep those fascinating emails coming. Alan Shartok is on the panel, Rosemary Armeo, and Times Union editor Mike Spain. I'm Ray Graff in for Joe. We'll be back after news. Welcome back to the Roundtable on a Tuesday morning, a beautiful September day. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. The panel today is Mike Spain of the Times Union, Rosemary Armeo of UAlbany, Danatopia, if you will. Alan Shartok is WAMC's political observer, and many other things. And the email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. roundtable@wamc.org. Quickly, an email or two there, old sport, and then we'll change gears.
Well, we're getting an awful lot of mail. Let me just characterize it as saying, why are you spending so much time on Hillary's health? Then we're getting an awful lot of email saying, why aren't you spending more time on Hillary's health? So I just want you to know that.
Okay, so it's a wash.
And then Tom says, did you really just say she set up a private email server to protect her personal emails, yoga, wedding, etc.? You have no credibility. Sherry says, Hillary was just like so many working women who go to work when it would be better for them to stay home. Maybe she set a bad example, but people do go to work when sick. Doesn't that hold true for people on WAMC? Yeah, but we encourage them to stay home when they're really sick so that everybody else doesn't get sick. Yeah,
and when he says everybody else, he means Alan doesn't get it.
No, not at all.
Our chief hypochondriac.
No offense, sir. No offense. Now you've really gone too far.
All right.
Okay. Our stock says, bring back Bernie. All right. And let's see here.
In what capacity? He's still around.
Candidate.
Well, no, the Bernieites are getting mobilized again because
should Hillary Clinton be declared unfit for the race?
You come in. What do you mean? You come on.
Well, I mean,
I don't know who
she's
would declare
going
her
to
that.
Run. Right? She's not going to bail out.
She's not going to bail out.
No. Well, let's move on.
Okay, moving on. And then we heard even if she weren't contagious after taking antibiotics, and antibiotics would be for the diagnosed bacterial infection, she would have been contagious before going on the antibiotics. She didn't tell people around her that they were in close proximity to her on the airplane before the diagnosis. She could have infected people.
She didn't have a diagnosis. Susan. I mean, geez.
Typhoid Hillary.
People have colds.
I'm not reading the stuff that is just, Trump is I can't read stuff that's not right.
Let's not even mention
it. Okay. Really disturbing, really, really disturbing, never-ending Alan Chartok.
What?
That's what it says. I moved back to WNC listening area after many years. I must say that the unending despotism of entrenched voices on the radio hours a day makes me turn off the radio, but not now. Okay.
Well, you make a point.
Yeah. Robin says, how can you compare a bout of pneumonia to Jeb Bartlett's MS, etc.? And like that. And then got a long, long letter on why don't we talk about more serious subjects.
Well, here we go.
More serious subjects.
Great transition.
Than, you know, who the next president of the United States might be and whether they might be leading us into a fascist state. No, that's not serious. We have to discuss, subpart two of Obama's health care.
Well, I do wish that we had had a chance to talk more about the Sioux protest against the oil pipeline in North Dakota that the president intervened with. I, again, admired Barack Obama.
Me too.
Who waited till the federal courts acted, didn't go the way he wanted, and then said, stop it. We have messed around with our Native Americans long enough. Let's give them this. I love that. Any comment?
The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. The White House says President Obama is intent on vetoing legislation that would allow families of September 11th victims to sue the government of Saudi Arabia. The legislation gives victims' families the right to sue in U.S. court for any role that elements of the Saudi government may have played in the 2001 attacks that killed nearly 3,000 people. White House spokesman Josh Earnest says other countries could use the legislation as an excuse to haul U.S. diplomats or U.S. service members into court. Earnest also says the executive branch can already designate certain countries as state sponsors of terrorism, and the bill would give judges across the country the ability to make a similar designation. He says that's not an effective response to terrorism. Here is a bill fraught with political danger. Rosemary Armel.
I don't understand exactly what he's going to gain from it, because it looks like Congress could override. It does indeed look as if the Saudis strong-armed him into not allowing this. The explanation that he uses, and I suppose there's something to it, is that if we allow this, if we allow these suits, America is going to be sued by people all around the world, which is kind of interesting.
I kind of think they have been already.
We ignore it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best argument that he can make is that you shouldn't have the courts of the United States granting waivers that have to do with international, diplomacy issues. And if the United States government has a policy to respect the sovereignty of another nation, a court shouldn't be able to undo that. This is the argument that he would make.
Right.
I mean, there's all kinds of nuances to diplomacy. I mean, we don't recognize the International Tribunal at The Hague because we don't want a ruling against us that we will have to then ignore.
But isn't this changing the whole role of the courts? In other words, the court doesn't make foreign policy. So isn't it, in a way, if a court does this, aren't they making foreign policy?
This would be his argument.
This is not foreign policy, though. That's one of the duties of the Supreme Court, is to negotiate claims that come from citizens of other states.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But this would give judges the chance to designate those countries.
To dabble in foreign policy, I agree with that.
Hmm.
But let me just say that from the time after 9/11 that we learned that Saudis were permitted out of the country. You remember that?
Yeah.
There's a special relationship with Saudi Arabia. People who cut people's heads off with a mighty scimitar, who do things that are really deplorable, who have supplied this country with oil for many years, which is what this is really all about. It doesn't have anything to do with, much else. And you got a guy who's president of the United States, and this is one of the tough calls you have to do.
Well, also, and I'll quote the Washington Post here, Saudi Arabia has been lobbying hard against the legislation, even threatening to sell off U.S. assets. And I believe that is really one of the main things.
That's the pressure that
you
mentioned. Yeah,
that's pretty
huge.
That's awesome.
And another possibility that occurred to me, although I don't know exactly how it would work, is that the House right now is looking at impeaching the head of the IRS. a crazy thing. He's been cleared by the inspector
and
general.
He wasn't there when
exactly.
Right. Their complaint, yeah. and it's basically the Tea Party people. Yeah. Their complaint is that after Lois Lerner left and this guy came in, that he wasn't fully disclosing all the documents that they want. It's not going to. It might actually
documents
get to the
floor. Documents on what?
On her leadership of the IRS and whether they're
targeting
going after,
conservative groups,
going after conservative groups.
I think it is. I think it has a good chance of getting to the impeachment stage.
The Senate will never find him guilty.
Yeah, but it's the House that votes to impeach.
Paul Ryan is sort of like saying, I guess they're going to do this, and he's very clearly not in favor of it, but it shows how little.
How weak he is, what a eunuch he is. Yes, it does.
She did it again. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. There it is. Rosemary called Paul Ryan a eunuch once again. That's at least twice on this program.
Yeah.
And I think I was here for both of them. And I want to thank you for that. It's very, very nice.
I do it for you.
Okay. Any more email before we take a break here, Alan?
Oh, boy, there is so much.
Oh, terrific.
Good morning. Why should she have announced she had pneumonia on Friday? She thought she could work through it. She was wrong, and it showed. Does pneumonia mean her health is compromised forever? By the way, you guys should, everybody should just take a look online at the, I hate to say this, the New York POST this morning, which has a diagram of Hillary's body with all of the places. Yeah, with all of the places that she's had problems in her life.
God, she's 68.
So for example,
we all have that.
I'm imagining that game Operation, you know, the guy.
Yeah.
Remove wrenched ankle.
Right. So they have an arrow to her thyroid. Jeez. Half the country has thyroid problems.
But, you know, Alan, here's the problem. She didn't come clean about the pneumonia. Then she goes, okay, I have pneumonia. Why is it wrong for us, even her supporters, to think, wow, is that all? How do we know that there isn't more she's not
disclosing? Well, how do you know? How do you
repeated blood clots? There is a history there.
I think we should know the results of cholesterol tests, of heart stress tests.
For both of them.
Both of them. Oh, absolutely, for both of them. I think we should know all the metrics that indicate health going forward and let independent physicians analyze that.
So this is like buying a used car then. We need to
absolutely.
Make sure all the
these
systems.
These guys both have a lot of miles on them.
Okay. Now, it's funny. You know, I keep seeing in the paper that Hillary's one of the older people ever to run.
And she's 4 years younger than Donald Trump.
But is that true?
Yes, it's true. These are two of the oldest candidates.
Wow. Yeah, she actually would be slightly older than Reagan was at this point.
Now, how old is Bernie?
75?
My age.
Did he turn 75?
I'm 75. Yeah. He's 75.
Okay. That's young. That's young, sir. Very young.
Alice says, too much time spent on all this campaign, and it says here, Mitsigosh, it's actually Mishigosh. Could the roundtable better balance content, spend less time on Hillary's illness that could be rounded up fairly quickly? You are all writers and editors. Surely those skills could be applied to your conversation. Leave you time to address the Dakota Pipeline and the Standing Rock in Congress.
I just brought it up,
and it
fell like a rock. So you guys write in, and we'll read it.
No, it's very important. It's very important. Look,
you guys haven't talked about this on the show?
I want to go to North Dakota. I'm totally inspired by what's happening there. I think it's awesome.
Just remind
huge,
everybody.
A huge, massive, peaceful demonstration against a pipeline that would go under a lake and under the Missouri River right through sacred Indian land, which, by the way, the U.S. government did not bother to give to the tribes. They kept it, and now they're plowing through it. And the federal courts have said, no, they have the right. This is important. And Barack Obama...
It's Canadian crude going to Louisiana to be shipped overseas.
Absolutely. It's just like the Keystone Pipeline. And the original line for this, original route, went through Whiteland. And there was such protest that the company stopped it. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has approved this. Courts have upheld it. And Barack Obama finally had the strength and courage to say, no, let's look at this. And we don't know where it's going to end up now, but at least there's somebody taking a look at maybe there's a less objectionable route for this pipeline.
Nan says, please spend a program being outraged about Trump's former comment that Hillary supporters are losers. Good point.
Oh, well, we've done many a program where that has been...
But I think that the comparison here is the press and others seize upon this concept
deplorables.
Of the deplorables, that Trump day after day, time after time, does much worse. I think that's the point.
He insults much broader classes of people. He basically wants to ban entire religions. And you've talked about it already. I mean, the data of people who support Trump want to you know, 40% of them want to ban mosques in the U.S. Yeah.
Well, here's one I really disagree with.
There you go. Deplorable, isn't it?
Here's one I really disagree
deplorable
with.
Deplorable action by individual people.
Here's one I really disagree with. It says, elderly presidents, cream corn at state dinners, Jim.
I love cream corn.
Oh, I hate cream corn.
Really? Oh, I like it, too.
It's a guilty pleasure.
We used to get it all the time.
Well,
as
if you
kids,
get these old presidents, you got to have soft food.
Right. No, I got it. We got it, too.
Vinny says, it's about time that the Saudis were called out for their duplicity. Their tacit, if not outright, support for terrorist groups may have served them well, but it insults innocents all over the world who have suffered the consequence, and that's from Vinny, and I agree with him. Good morning, says Beth. Good morning.
Good morning.
I must say, I too believe I heard Rosemary agree yesterday when asked if Hillary should withdraw, saying that's what she should do.
I never said that. I don't believe it.
Why do people do that kind of thing?
Well, remember, you can listen to these if you're really a glutton for punishment. You can listen to these programs online at WAMC.org. After a few hours, they'll get the audio for this hour on the web. And then, you know, have fun. Have,
you can
have
listen
a couple
to
of beers,
it anytime.
Kick up
That's
your feet,
right.
listen to the program.
Day or night.
Nick said, hi, Roundtable.
Hello.
I've been out of range for a while, but was wondering how Alan's concert went.
Oh, how did that concert
It was excellent.
Yeah?
Excellent.
Did you tune up and stuff?
Well, everybody was, yeah, we tuned up, but
Good.
Everybody was better than I was.
That's not true.
We have a terrific band. I have a certain charismatic presence, but that's all.
Yes, like that. Yes, he
does. And Cynthia says, private server to protect health information, and that's from Cynthia Capone.
Okay. Well, Cynthia, that will be the last one for a moment here. We'll take a break, right?
Okay. All right.
It's the Roundtable at WAMC.org, Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll take a break, and then we'll find out what's in the Times Union.
Support comes from Sunwood Builders Amherst, over 20 years of green and custom home building, offering home remodeling services and energy retrofits, working to save energy while maintaining design features. Sunwood-builders.com. Harbrook Fine Windows, Doors, and Hardware Albany, specializing in function and aesthetics, offering energy-efficient products and installation. Windows and Doors by Marvin and Integrity, Harbrook.com. And Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York, plastic surgery dedicated to cosmetic surgery, laser treatments, and minimally invasive facial rejuvenation since 1996. Surgeon's hands, a woman's touch. CAPEK, plasticsurgery.com.
Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 9:48 Tuesday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. We're in the middle of the Roundtable panel. Rosemary Omeo from UAlbany and Alan Shartok from WAMC. And then there's the associate editor of the Times Union, Mike Spain, which is a great newspaper. Best one since the Knickerbocker News. Mike, what's happening in the paper today?
I think there's a lot of attention to the fact that it is a New York State primary today.
Another one?
And it's very late.
Another one?
Yes, it is.
The ninth one in like the last 6 months.
Well, something like that. But it is different from the federal primary for a congressional race, which happened the last week of August. I'm sorry, of June. Let me correct myself. The last week of June, where in our capital region, there was a primary, a Democratic and Republican primary back in June for the congressional seat being given up by Chris Gibson.
Why did he do that? Why did he make it two?
That is a big issue. The Federal Election Commission and the courts require that the federal primary, that for congressional seats, happen in plenty of time to get absentee ballots out to servicemen, foreign servicemen, and foreign nationals that live in other, you know, outside the U.S. who are eligible to vote in the U.S.
But that would not hold true for the mayor of Schenectady, for example?
No, it would not. That's right. It's New York State is not as rigid about that.
So the servicemen don't deserve to vote for the mayor of Schenectady the way they do for them. The congressional.
Well, that's your analysis of the results. But
yeah.
There's been a bill in the legislature which would, there's been separate bills in the legislature in New York that would combine them into one The Democrats in the Assembly would like to have it the last week of June. That would be the federal primary and the state primary, which is now today. And the Republicans in the Senate have balked at that. They would rather have it in late August. And a lot of people don't want to see a primary in late August. They think people are still away. And it kind of is stuck at that. But anyway, today is the day where you get to pick who is going to run for the state Senate and the state assembly, depending on where you live. And in the city of Albany, who's going to run for court. And then there's a few town races scattered around the region. But in the biggest one is to fill the seat vacated by Hugh Farley. And that is he held a 49th Senate seat, which was Saratoga and Schenectady County and some other
and held
counties
it for a
up
long
in
right,
up, right. He was the longest tenured state Senate member, and he decided not to run for re-election this year. Jim Tedesco, who was a longtime assemblyman for part of that region,
and has been waiting to run for that seat for,
for
1,000 years.
Yeah. Somebody was already primarying Farley from the North Country, and his name is Christian Klug. So there is a primary, and it's Tedesco against Klug. And if you've been through the district, there's a gazillion signs. And if nothing else. But there's also a primary now that Tedesco is vacating the 112th Assembly seat. There's also a primary there. Jim Fisher and Mary Beth Walsh want to the Republican nomination for that. And then also Carrie Warner, who's the 113th Assembly District, and she's out of Round Lake, she is being challenged. Some Republicans are competing to challenge her. She's the Democrat incumbent, but they look at her as being vulnerable. It's traditionally a Republican seat. So, you know, and there's others going on around the state, and there's also some local races.
Well, the Senate is where it's could affect the entire balance of the Senate.
It could. Although this is a very strong Republican district, it will be a leap for Chad Putnam. He's the Democrat candidate who will run against the victor in the Tedesco-Klug race. And it's going to be an uphill fight for him just based on voter enrollment.
The 31st Senate District in Manhattan,
right?
Isn't that one where the independent Democratic conference could
possibly
get in there?
The traitors, the guys who have made common cause.
These are a group of Democrats who are aligned with the Republican leadership in
sold
the
out
state
to the Republicans,
Senate. Yeah. And that could shift that balance. It's a very close, very tenuous balance in the state Senate. And you're right. Yes.
So the Times Union is the place where you can find out all about that. And it's, the website is once again timesunion.com. Yeah,
that's right. And read Capital Confidential, our great blog out of the Capitol.
Yeah. And that has if you want to know about this stuff from Massachusetts or Vermont, you know, you can check in with the Times Union because I know you're fascinated with New York local politics.
That's right. We are New York Central, I guess.
No, I know. I didn't mean that
Central.
Critically.
Or more. New York Central, too. It's a railroad, but we like
still,
it.
Yeah. Why are you looking at me that way?
Well, I don't know. Oh. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. A somewhat perhaps tenuous ceasefire in Syria going on right now. Turkey is saying Syria is already violating this.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, Turkey's state-run news agency says 20 UN trucks have left Turkey to deliver humanitarian aid to Aleppo. Turkey says it shelled two targets inside Syria after a mortar round struck inside Turkey. Seems to be holding right now, at least according to most observers.
It's brand new, and the ceasefires do not have a very good record. It was horrible this weekend. Just before the ceasefire went into effect, there were attacks all over the country. It was like, let's get in a few more hundred killings before we're forced to stop.
Well, one has to wonder, right? What kind of deal was made between Kerry or the U.S. or Obama and Putin? In other words, in order to achieve this, you had to have both sides agreeing. And the big contention, of course, is whether the strongman gets allowed to stay.
This is a very interesting point you make. The Russian Foreign Ministry is pushing to make public the text of that ceasefire deal. And they say the U.S. doesn't want to release the details. What do you make of that?
And why all of a sudden are the Russians so worried about whether they release something that the United States might not like to see?
This is what I want to know.
May portray Russians as having the upper hand in this.
They do have the upper
hand. Portray a weakness, and it may document a weakness that the U.S. has been criticized about. And it's also entered into U.S. politics.
Well, because
I think the States has gone along with this because of the humanitarian. There are just people are so slammed. It's just awful. And they don't have the power to oust Assad. The Russians have protected him, are protecting him, and we have given that up because for the sake of saving lives.
Yeah, and he's a terrible man. No,
he is a terrible man.
But no two ways about it. But
I haven't heard Trump praise him yet.
But the problem... But he does praise Putin, and Putin praises him.
He does,
and praised Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he did, and Putin
strong
is the
leaders.
Architect of this. And it is the Russians have been incredibly deceitful. I'm teaching a class on Russian propaganda. This is a great one, that we're in there fighting ISIS. They are not fighting ISIS. They're fighting to uphold the Assad regime, and that's helping ISIS.
Well, there's another side. I'm sorry. There's another side to this, and that is... We tend to support groups on the outside who are trying to oust Assad, make heroes out of them, and then later on, in this case and in others, they may just turn out to be terrible, terrible people themselves.
Well, that is really true. But what's going on right now is that the people are being pummeled. And no place worse than Aleppo. And what you're hearing from Assad and from the Russians is that they're fighting rebels. Rebels don't even have planes. They're not dropping bombs. That's Russian.
You're teaching a section of a course on propaganda.
On propaganda. ISIS propaganda and Russian propaganda, they are incredibly efficient at it, far more than we are.
Okay, but we've been fighting propaganda for a long time, since the Cold War began and even before. Does it seem to you that the U.S. has not been very strident in saying, hey, Russia's not...
Yes, absolutely.
Telling the whole story.
Absolutely.
Here.
The Russian, Putin is, I mean, he's a KGB guy, you know. He's so good at propaganda of all sorts. He has whole factories of people who do nothing more than read the internet and answer as assiduously as I do my Facebook. They are responding to anything that makes Russia look bad and the U.S. look good. They're getting responses.
So why isn't the U.S. making more of a big deal out of
this? Well, you hear talk about it, but it takes money and it takes political will to do that. And America likes to see itself as good. We don't do propaganda. Of course we do. When we do it the best. Voice of America was a fantastic propaganda.
Radio Free Europe.
Yes, Radio Free Europe. Absolutely. But we don't like to say that that's what we're doing. We see it as deceptive. You are beginning to hear people talk about we have to win the hearts and minds of Muslims if we're going to really make a difference. It takes more than military. That means propaganda.
The email address, roundtable@wamc.org. Time for maybe one or two more here, Alan, and then we'll move on out.
Yeah, well, no, you're exactly right. You know, I'm looking at this device here. So Alice says, correction to the panel. The Dakota Pipeline is carrying oil from North Dakota to refineries in Chicago, I believe, for domestic consumption.
I stand corrected.
All right. Let's see here. There are people who send me either telephone numbers to open or stuff. I won't do that because, you know, I know what you're up to.
Usually it's somebody texting an email is what happens. That's why you get those.
You cannot do that.
Okay, sir.
Because if you do that, I don't know what's behind there. There may be some strange viral thing, you know.
Well, I'm afraid that's where we'll have to leave it.
Okay.
So that was fun. And thank you, Alan. And thank you, Rosemary. And thank you, Mike. And thanks, everybody, for listening and for the interesting email. Once again, if you want to weigh in throughout the day, roundtable@wamc.org. Hour number two of the roundtable coming up.